One of the biggest problems facing senior business leaders, CEOs, individuals, founders, everybody, is how to build and sustain excellence. One of the most difficult things to do is be able to recruit talent and keep talent. The model that is going to help you as a leader or you as an individual be able to sustain excellence.
Hello, hello, and welcome to or welcome back to the Raise Your Game Show. I'm your host, Alan Stein Jr., and thanks for tuning in to Season 12. This season will be focused on sustaining both individual and organizational excellence. More specifically, what it takes for you to manage stress, avoid stagnation, and beat burnout. Which, not coincidentally, is the theme of my new book, Sustain Your Game, which is currently available at your favorite book retailer, or you can visit sustainyourgamebook.com for a sneak peek, sample content, and a series of bulk order bonuses and bundles. Once again, that's sustainyourgamebook.com. In addition to it being available as a hardcover and as an ebook for your Kindle, it is also available as an audiobook, which notably offers you an incredibly unique listening experience, as we've enriched my narration with music and have included over 20 minutes of exclusive content that is not found in the physical book. A virtual Q&A with me and Reese Davis of ESPN, which can only be accessed through the audiobook. You can download it now from Audible or wherever you purchase your audiobooks and immediately start to sustain your game. If you decide to go the audiobook route, I feel compelled to warn you. My smooth and sexy voice is intoxicating. So please be very careful if listening while driving.
I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
There's nothing wrong with the familiar. But if your social circle is made up of the same people for going on 10, 20 years, it could be contributing to your stagnation. It's vital that your inner circle is just as committed to consistent growth and development as you are. If you keep pushing to move forward in all aspects of your life and your friends don't, that relationship may be holding you back in ways you don't even notice. The comfort zone of our social circles can be confining. It doesn't mean that there's something wrong with our friends or that we need to cut them all out. But social connections are an area for growth that gets neglected. The modern world gives us more opportunities than ever to forge relationships with people who do not look, act, or think the same way we do. Yet what do? We keep our social networks nice and tidy by seeking out people just like us. Think about the way the online world sorts itself into like-minded groups and belief systems. This is why diversity of ethnicity, race, age, gender, thoughts, and perspectives is so essential. When we spend time in the same groups, we also fall prey to dangerous habits like groupthink. This is a state where individuals stop thinking for themselves and care more about being agreeable than being useful. In these groups, all the differences collapse and flatten so that group members unknowingly end up talking about information they share rather than information that is unique to each of them. It's not the same as being on a team where members decide to commit to serving the larger goal. Groupthink happens when the individuals are too intimidated to be themselves or express dissent. When I first started coaching, I remember hearing the maxim, if everyone on this team is thinking the same, then some of them aren't actually thinking. That's groupthink. Another thing we have to avoid is getting trapped in our own filter bubble. A filter bubble once referred to the information and news we consumed online, but it now can mean all of our interactions and exposure. We only meet others like us, read what we agree with, and hear opinions that match our own. The longer we stay in our respective filter bubbles, the harder it is to break out of them and the more likely we're going to stagnate. We should make room for novelty into our lives, even if that appears as the guise of something uncomfortable. Remember that it's the stretching that helps us grow. I've delivered keynotes, workshops, and team trainings in health, medicine, business, hospitality, academics, tech, sports, and have gained from each of these disciplines. The more we drop ourselves into new worlds, expand where we're willing to learn from, the less likely we'll get stuck. In order to polish my speaking game, I study both stand-up comedy and hip-hop music to improve my timing, tempo, and stage presence. If I only studied other motivational speakers, I'd just be bouncing around in my own filter bubble. The best coaches and players in the world don't just study their sport either. Coach Eric Musselman, who has held nearly 20 different basketball coaching jobs before his current role at Arkansas, told me he uses videos of shortstops to teach his players reaction time, videos of tennis players to teach lateral footwork, and videos of wide receivers to teach precision cutting. His openness to take from anywhere is what makes him such an asset. He told me that back when he was an assistant, he would talk to his mother a good deal about his work and whether he was satisfied where he was. When he felt like it might be time to make a change, she'd ask him, "Have you learned from this system?" If he answered yes, she'd say, "All right, it's time to move on and learn from someone else." If you want to get better at anything, find a coach or a mentor. They can see things you can't see, hold you accountable, know things you don't know, and the things you don't even know you don't know. The moment I became a speaker, I found a speaking coach. The moment I signed a book deal, I found a writing coach. The moment I started making enough money to save, I hired a financial coach. Mentors are all around us. We just have to be willing to find them and be open to listening to them. In the fall of 1999, after graduating college, I moved back home to the Washington, D.C. area to pursue a career as a basketball performance coach, then was known as a strength and conditioning coach. There was a locally renowned trainer named Kevin Maselka who worked with numerous NBA players such as Patrick Ewing, Allen Iverson, Alonzo Mourning, and Carmelo Anthony. At the time, that was my number one goal, to train the best of the best in the game of basketball. Since I was just starting and lacked the experience and expertise to train NBA players, I figured the ideal path was to work for someone who did. So I convinced Kevin to let me work for him. And I use the term work very loosely. I was basically an unpaid intern, though I thought of myself more as an apprentice. I told Kevin I was willing to do anything he needed, from sweeping the floor to wiping down the equipment, in order to learn from him and observe his training sessions. My goal was to add value to him, as well as to the players he was training, in exchange for knowledge. And it paid off brilliantly. In a span of a year, I went from cleaning up to spotting exercises to leading warm-ups to training players myself. I took a role that had a lot of sacrifice up front, mostly manual labor for no pay, in the hopes of a bigger opportunity later. Now, things don't always work out so perfectly, but if you don't at least put yourself out there, I guarantee you there's zero chance of it happening. Shortly after that experience, and gaining a few more years of experience under my belt as a private performance coach working one-on-one with players, I started to crave being part of a team. I thought back on my years of playing in high school and college, and the camaraderie was part of what made those experiences so positive. While I enjoyed the relationships I was making with individual players, I needed the satisfaction and fulfillment from knowing I was making a meaningful contribution to something bigger than myself. I decided to aim high and target the preeminent program in my area, Montrose Christian. It had a stellar reputation, a Hall of Fame coach, and was practically a factory that was producing Division I players year after year. But getting in at Montrose was no easy task. Every month from 2000 to 2003, I sent letters and left voice messages for Coach Stu Vetter, all of which went unreturned and unanswered. Then finally, in the spring of 2003, I caught a break. I made my routine monthly call to the Montrose basketball office, and to my surprise, someone finally answered the phone. This was the first time I actually spoke with a human being. Coach Vetter's lead assistant, David Adkins, answered the phone with a very gruff, "Hello?" I was so shocked someone answered the phone that it took me a moment to collect myself. After what felt like an enormous pause, I introduced myself and told Coach Adkins how badly I wanted to contribute to their program. Not that I wanted a job or an opportunity. I wanted to contribute. Coach Adkins must have felt my passion through the phone as he immediately invited me over to his office to talk shop. As the old saying goes, luck is when preparation meets opportunity. To my good fortune, a couple of days earlier, Coach Vetter had just tasked Coach Adkins with leading the Montrose Christian off-season conditioning program. He admittedly knew very little about strength and conditioning, so he was curious to hear how I might be of service. After we chatted and got better acquainted, he told me that he would bring Linus Kleiza, who was a future NBA player and Lithuanian Olympic player, he'd bring Linus over for a private workout. He said, "If Linus likes your workout, you're in. If he doesn't, I never knew you." Great. No pressure. Basically, this was an audition to become a part of the Montrose Christian basketball program. The following afternoon, I took Linus Kleiza through an hour-long workout and blasted him pretty hard. I felt like it went well, though I got very little verbal feedback from him during the workout. This certainly wasn't abnormal, as it's been my experience that most teenagers take a while to warm up to an adult they don't know. So I had to rely on reading Linus's body language and facial expressions, which didn't reveal much, as he was pretty stoic. About an hour later, Coach Atkins picked Linus up. He told me the two would talk and he'd let me know. 20 minutes after that, Coach Atkins called me. "You're hired," he said. When Linus got in the car, he said that was the best workout he's ever had. "When can I do it again?" That audition resulted in a 7-year stint as the performance coach at Montrose and an opportunity to contribute to a nationally ranked program and work with players like Kevin Durant, Terrence Ross, and Justin Anderson, all current NBA players. That workout was the launching off point to so many opportunities in my life, and it began with a desire to contribute and to expand my circle and my world. Well, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for investing your time with me. I hope I helped you sustain your game. If you're open-minded and committed to investing in yourself or in your organization, please visit sustainyourgamebook.com. Your support means more to me than you know.